Have you ever been in a spot where you really needed some help, maybe with something super personal or a real challenge you were facing, but just the thought of having to say it out loud, explain all the complicated, maybe painful, or even just embarrassing bits, it felt like too much. Maybe you even worried that talking about it would actually make things worse or break down that sense of privacy you really needed. It's a really common thing, that feeling, that hesitation to talk about our deepest struggles. Okay, let's really dig into this because today we're looking at a therapy approach that tackles exactly that problem. It's called content-free hypnotherapy. You might sometimes hear it called non-disclosure hypnotherapy too. And honestly, it's as interesting as it sounds. What really grabs me about this, and I think you'll find this fascinating too, is how it just directly confronts that big hurdle, talking about the problem. I mean, the really surprising thing here is that it's actually possible for a therapist and a client to work through a problem, like resolve it, without the client ever having to say what the problem is. So this deep dive, it's all about how they pull off this seemingly impossible thing. It kind of flips what we think healing needs, doesn't it?
It really does. And our mission today is to give you a proper deep dive into this pretty remarkable method. We'll look at exactly what content-free hypnotherapy is, why it's becoming such a powerful and, frankly, less intrusive option for a lot of people, and crucially, the clever ways it actually works while keeping the client's privacy totally intact. It's really about empowering you to use your own inner resources, find solutions on your own terms, even in silence.
Okay, so let's start with the basics, the core idea. What is content-free hypnotherapy? Well, at its heart, it's a way to work with people who just really don't want to, or maybe feel they can't, talk about their specific issues. And you might think, isn't that rare in therapy? Doesn't the therapist have to know everything? But actually, it seems that it's more common than you'd guess for people to say upfront, look, I'd rather not go into the details. So for them, this method is a real pathway. And that content-free part is the absolute key, right? It means the therapist isn't focusing on the specific facts or memories or the, intense feelings directly linked to the issue. There's no digging into root causes, no exploring difficult childhood stuff, no dissecting the trauma itself. The focus is just elsewhere, which for many people must be a huge relief.
Oh, absolutely. And what's really insightful here is how neatly this fits with solution-focused hypnotherapy principles already. You see, solution-focused therapy is already geared towards the future, right? It prioritizes finding solutions now and moving forward. Rather than spending ages analyzing the past problem, it's inherently about what can be, not just what was. So yeah, while it might seem a bit strange at first glance, the groundwork for fixing things without spelling them out is actually built right into this therapeutic model. It's a proven path, genuinely achievable.
So what does this all mean for you then if you're thinking about getting help? Why is this such a, a game changer for clients?
Well, the benefits are pretty profound, especially around privacy and just feeling comfortable.
Yeah, the main draw seems to be absolutely no need to disclose personal details. You never have to actually say what the problem is. And that's huge for emotional safety, isn't it? It means you can avoid potentially reliving painful stuff or embarrassing things or even things that could be re-traumatizing just by talking about them out loud.
Exactly. Think about that. Being able to work through something really tough without ever saying the words, without revisiting those images or feelings that often come up when you verbalize trauma.
Wow. That really lowers the emotional burden. It opens doors that might have stayed shut otherwise.
It really does. It's not just privacy. It's fundamental emotional safety. It gets around the major reason people avoid seeking help in the first place. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this content-free way is especially good for certain kinds of issues, things that are super personal, really sensitive, like maybe certain phobias or deep anxieties people feel ashamed of. It's also great for struggles that feel kind of vague or hard to pin down, like a general sense of unease or maybe a complicated internal conflict you can't quite articulate.
Right, things that are hard to put into words anyway.
Exactly. And maybe most importantly, it's a lifeline for things carrying a lot of stigma or trauma experiences that someone just cannot face recounting. Not having to disclose reduces so much of the anxiety and resistance people might feel about even starting therapy. It turns this massive hurdle into just a manageable step.
Okay, this all sounds incredibly freeing for the client, really empowering. But, and this is the big question I bet listeners are asking, how on earth can the therapist actually help if they don't know what the problem is? Doesn't that go against everything we assume about therapy?
It's the logical question, isn't it?
Okay, let's pull back the curtain then. How does this silent healing actually happen? How do you get results without knowing the specifics?
Right, well, it's not magic, even if it sounds a bit like it. It relies on several quite clever interconnected techniques.
Okay, first up, and this sounds really elegant, the power of metaphors and stories.
Yes, metaphors are central.
So in solution-focused hypnotherapy, the therapist uses these carefully chosen metaphors or narratives. The therapist might describe one thing, say a journey or a landscape, maybe building something, and the client, inside their own head, recognizes parallels. They see how the issues and, crucially, the solutions within that story connect to their own unspoken problem.
Mm-hmm. The sources give some great examples.
Yeah, like you might visualize yourself walking on a beach, the tide coming in and out, or maybe exploring a peaceful garden or a dense forest, or perhaps picturing a big castle, loads of rooms, and paintings on the walls that represent different bits of your life.
Or doors off a main room, maybe, leading to other spaces with symbolic items.
Exactly, like a cluttered desk for stress, or a locked box holding some past regret you haven't dealt with. You might even imagine a journey through space or time, watching things shift in importance as your perspective changes.
The potential for symbolism is huge. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is, our subconscious minds are incredibly good at making those connections automatically.
Okay, so the client hears the story.
Right, and this is where the cleverness really lies. The client interprets these metaphors completely personally. It lets their subconscious engage with the story deeply, but privately. So imagine someone struggling with, say, imposter syndrome. They don't say, "I feel like a fraud." Instead, the therapist might guide them to visualize building something complex, maybe a bridge, brick by brick.
Okay.
And when they encounter a problem in the visualization, a shaky pillar maybe, or needing a different material, the therapist helps them find metaphorical solutions within the trance, finding stronger mortar or a hidden support beam or just a different way to build that section.
I see.
And the client's subconscious connects those solutions to their real-life feeling of not being good enough without ever needing to say imposter syndrome. If the metaphorical problem gets solved in the trance, the subconscious just applies that solution blueprint to the real issue.
And because the actual problem isn't named.
Exactly. No alarms go off in the conscious mind. That critical voice, that internal editor that argues or resists, it gets bypassed, making the client much more open to the therapeutic suggestion.
And it's not totally passive for the client either, is it? They can give feedback.
Not necessarily verbally about the content, no. But they might nod or shift or perhaps describe the feeling of a metaphor shifting without revealing the what. That subtle feedback helps the therapist tweak things in future sessions, adjust the imagery, maybe, or the story's direction.
Oh, without needing the explicit details. They can even sort of co-create the metaphor sometimes.
Yes, working with a therapist to find imagery or suggestions that really resonate for them while still keeping the core issue private. It's very collaborative, actually.
Okay, so metaphors are one big piece. What's next?
Well, another key mechanism is the use of primarily indirect suggestions.
Right, not direct commands like "you will feel confident."
Precisely. Indirect suggestions are softer, more like invitations. You might begin to notice, or perhaps you'll find a growing sense of ease. They allow for individual interpretation.
And people tend to respond better to those anyway, don't they? Less resistance.
Much less resistance. Most people prefer them because they don't feel pushed or ordered around.
Yeah.
They're more likely to accept them.
And why are they so effective in this context?
It ties back to what we just said about bypassing the critical faculty, that logical, analytical part of your brain. Suggestions given in that hypnotic trance state can kind of slip past that filter, the part that might usually argue, "No, I won't feel calm."
Oh, okay.
By getting around that conscious resistance, the indirect suggestions land more effectively in the subconscious mind. And that's where a lot of the deep processing and positive change actually happens. It's like planting seeds rather than issuing orders.
Makes sense. Okay, so we have metaphors, indirect suggestions. What's the third element?
A core philosophy, really. It's central to the solution-focused approach in general.
Which
the therapist doesn't act like they have all the answers. They're not the authority figure dictating the solution.
Instead,
the client is positioned as the expert on themselves. Always.
The client is the expert, even if they can't articulate the problem.
Exactly. The fundamental belief here is that your subconscious mind, that deeper part of you, already knows what the problem is and, crucially, how to resolve it. Even if your conscious mind hasn't figured it out or put it into words yet.
It's like your body knowing how to heal a cut.
That's a great analogy, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't consciously tell your cells what to do. The therapy aims to create the best conditions for that subconscious wisdom to emerge and guide the healing, tapping into the client's own resources.
And this fits perfectly with the solution-focused idea of not digging into the past, right?
Absolutely. We keep mentioning the future focus because it's so key here.
Mm.
Solution-focused hypnotherapy deliberately avoids investigating how you got here. No deep dives into childhood history or the roots of the trauma.
The focus is purely on now and moving towards where you want to be.
Right. So for a content-free approach, that's essential. There's simply no need to discuss the past problems details because the work isn't happening there. It's all about moving forward.
Okay, so the therapist facilitates using metaphors and indirect suggestions, trusting the client's subconscious. But that practical question still hangs there. If the client isn't sharing details, how does the therapist know if it's working? How do they track progress?
Yeah, you need some way to measure, don't you?
And the method is actually brilliantly simple, but apparently very effective.
It is. It puts the power right back with the client.
During chat, before the trance part of the session, the client just gives a number.
Mm-hmm. On a scale.
Usually 1 to 10. 1 means feeling really bad, maybe overwhelmed by the issue. 10 means feeling great, like they've reached their goal.
And it's entirely subjective. Their internal measure.
So the therapist doesn't need to know why it's a 3 or a 7.
Nope. That numerical feedback is all they need. As the client feels things shifting internally, making progress, that number generally starts to climb.
Yeah. Maybe not always straight up. Could dip sometimes.
Oh, sure. Progress is rarely linear. Right. You might go from a 3 to a 5, dip back to 4 after a tough week, then climb to 6 or 7. That's normal.
But the overall trend tells the story.
Exactly. That number creeping up towards 10 tells the therapist the process is working.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them something concrete to acknowledge progress and celebrate successes with the client. It keeps it totally client-centered. Their feeling of improvement is the guide, not some external checklist or detailed story.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Simple but powerful. So the therapist has their way to track things non-intrusively, but this brings us to the client side of things again. Their role is crucial here, isn't it?
Absolutely indispensable.
Because even though they aren't telling the therapist their goals, it's vital that they have really clear personal goals in their own mind.
Yes. SMART goals, ideally. Mm-hmm. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. Just for themselves.
Why is that so important if they're not sharing them?
Because those internal goals are what empower the client to recognize their own progress. It's their personal benchmark. So if someone is silently working on, say, overcoming social anxiety, their private SMART goal might be, within 2 months, I will attend the weekly team meeting and speak up at least once without overwhelming anxiety, feeling calm afterwards.
They don't tell the therapist that specific goal.
Correct. But they hold it clearly in their mind. It gives them focus.
Mm.
And having these clear aims helps them know when they're getting there, when the therapy has done its job, when they can perhaps stop the sessions.
It maintains their sense of control, their agency.
Exactly. It makes them an active driver of their own change process, charting their own course, even if the map isn't shared with the therapist.
So wrapping this up then, what's the big takeaway for you, our listener, from this deep dive?
I think the main point is that this content-free approach, it really works. And it works exceptionally well for people who need therapy to be respectful, less intrusive.
And ultimately, much more empowering, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. It offers a genuine, effective route to healing without that burden of disclosure, without the fear, without that risk of re-traumatization.
And it's not just for one specific niche issue either.
Not at all. Its applicability is really broad. It can help with a huge range of psychological, emotional, behavioral challenges. It uses the proven engine of solution-focused hypnotherapy, but adds that incredibly valuable layer of privacy through non-disclosure.
It really is quite something. A testament to the power of our own subconscious minds, isn't it?
It truly is. The innate ability to find solutions, given the right kind of support.
So maybe just consider that for a moment. The incredible capacity of your own mind to heal and find answers, and the potential of therapy methods that empower you, the client, without demanding you lay everything bare. It really challenges our assumptions about what healing means, doesn't it? Suggesting that sometimes maybe the biggest changes can happen quietly, guided from within. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today.